it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. And the phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. Legal MJ. That's what we're fighting for here at the Russ Belville Show. Been doing it since 2005, and I'll keep doing it until it's legal in Singapore. Yeah, people ask sometimes, what do you think going to be the last state to legalize? And sometimes I say Singapore, just because, like a nation state, right? Kind of throws people off. But it's something to think about, because here in America, our legalization is proceeding apace, and within the next 20 years, I think pretty much anybody everywhere in the states will be able to get some weed. Laws will be different. I mean, California will have lounges and pretty much free-for-all, and Kansas might be just decrim at that point. But still, it's going to get better over these next couple decades for sure. But that doesn't mean that we rest on our laurels, and that doesn't mean there's not still battles to fight. And that's where I'm starting to take my look now, internationally, at what it's going to take to get us out of these UN treaties, and what it's going to take to change the laws in the producer countries, and to take a broader view of this whole fight beyond just marijuana into all drugs that people might want to use. And it's a tough one for some people to get around. It's there's a strain, if you'll pardon the expression, of marijuana users that kind of get up on their high horse about it. Marijuana is the sacred herb, and marijuana is the healing of the nations, and marijuana is a miracle medicine, and marijuana is safer than everything ever, right? And they kind of cast aspersions on the users of other substances and the danger of other substances. Now, this isn't to say that other drugs don't provide greater dangers. No, sure, absolutely. I'll cop to that, no doubt. But that's not to say that a drug having a greater risk potential makes it per se dangerous, right? It's not like marijuana is a baseline and anything riskier than that is a danger. I mean, everything's a danger to some level. We need to understand it as a spectrum. There's no good or bad drugs. There's just varying degrees of risk associated with them. That's what I think we need to, the point we need to get across. And it's going to be difficult because we've got, 57% of the people, according to Pew now, that say they support marijuana legalization, but any other drug, it's like 6-8%. Heroin, coke, meth, like 4%, right? And I think part of the thing we're going to find ourselves having to undo is some of the ways that we fought for marijuana legalization, because those arguments don't work as well for the other drugs. My argument has always been, it don't matter if it's Drano. I got the right to put it in my body. I'm one of those guys, I'm for suicide. I'm for physician-assisted suicide. Hell, I'm for, set up a clinic, like an abortion clinic for, adults. Like, just, hey, I'm done with life. Terminate me. I would. I'm your life, buddy. You want to end it? Your life. That's great. Do with it what you will. So with that perspective, it's not hard for me to switch right over to the other drugs. You want to do coke? You want to do meth? You want to do PCP? Great. Go ahead. Now, I might have some safety requirements, you know, clean needles, pure drugs. Maybe with the PCP, you gotta, you know, be locked in a room or something. I don't know, but I would not restrict anybody from doing to their bodies what they want to do with their bodies. But everybody else who's fought for legalization, fighting for it on the, hey, we could raise taxes, or hey, it's safer than alcohol, those arguments aren't going to work as well when we're talking about drugs that very few people use that are actually dangerous. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Mention the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well, but words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We have to bring back law and order.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Got a great chat room going on here at CannabisRadio.com. If you haven't been there, you need to join us. We got a good set of regulars that'll help you out. If you're listening on the Spreaker player, on that Spreaker player, there's a little thing that looks like a little cartoon balloon, kind of an icon, like a little chat bubble. Click on that. It'll open up the chat room for you. Also, shortly before I go on air, I tweet out the Spreaker link, and that's the one that goes straight to the chat room. You can use that as well to get in there. But join us. We got Jerry and Doc and Runaround and Michael and High in Hawaii and a bunch of folks that are hanging out, having us a good time. Now, I wanted to continue on my Dr. Oz rant. And by the way, you can find this rant up on weednews.co, the new site that I'm a co-partner of. Co-partner? That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Anyway, I'm a partner on this website, and the whole rant is up there with plenty of links if you want to follow up on this stuff. But I need to get the rest of this out because the guy just pisses me off. In fact, all these TV doctors piss me off. Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, the doctors, whoever the hell, they all piss me off. And not necessarily because of who they are, although in the case of Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, that's a contributing factor. But the fact that they're on TV at all. because I feel that the popularity of these shows is partially a function of our shitty healthcare system in this country. And the fact that people can't afford to go see a doctor, if they got a question or they're curious about something, they don't have a personal relationship with a physician and the money to be able to afford it to go just shoot the shit. So they got to watch some quack on TV trying to sell some, you know, green coffee bean weight loss cure he's getting kickbacks for. And what kind of public service is that? So Dr. Roz and this other Dr. Roizen, they wrote this op-ed. It's up on the Idaho Statesman. It's all over the place. And I was just going through it because there was 10 different ways they denigrated and tried to undermine support for medical marijuana. 10 different ways in a 650-word piece. I got through the first five in the rant. Let me get the other five out right now. So they had just finished talking about how, oh, you know, if you want pain relief, you don't want to smoke pot because smoking is inflammation and inflammation might cause more pain. And I kind of chided him on, hey, there's edibles, there's tinctures, there's vaporizers, right? So the very next paragraph, here's the quote. These same inflammatory molecules don't seem to accumulate when marijuana is eaten. But if you're going to eat pot brownies, gummies, or hard candies, beware of kids' access to them. Overdoses are dangerous. Well, I guess be careful what I ask for, right? Doc Oz here is acknowledging that there are marijuana-infused edibles to eliminate the harms from smoking, like I'd wanted him to. But then immediately tries to make it scary by threatening a danger to children. Look, nobody wants to see kids ingesting marijuana, but that's a risk born from bad parenting, not a risk from the marijuana-infused edibles. Kids face no more danger from eating unsecured marijuana gummies than eating unsecured vitamin gummies. Both are going to give the kids some discomfort. Both are non-toxic. And in both cases, the kids will recover in a few hours with no lasting effects. Now, they wouldn't turn out so well if they got into the unsecured chocolate laxatives or the unsecured Jell-O shots or the unsecured Tide laundry pods that look like candy. Funny how 48,000 kids under the age of six in this nation in 2014 went in for non-toxic gummy vitamins and other types of medicines like that. Somehow that didn't freak everyone out, but 47 kids under the age of 10 who got into some gummy bears in Colorado, that's a big problem. 1/1,000th of the kids that are getting into the gummy vitamin stuff. The difference is that these irresponsible adults who let their kids get into the laundry pods, let them get into the cosmetics, all these other things that kids are 1,000 times more likely to be going to the hospital for, we understand it's the parents' problem. We blame the parent for letting their kid get into the easily opened, transparent package of drug-infused candy or laundry pods. But you get a few dozen kids made temporarily ill on a marijuana product, and oh no, it's not the parents that are the problem, it's the product itself. And boom, we're passing laws to restrict their shape, to reduce their potency, to label them, to ban their advertising, to stamp them with big old markings on them, and to require their packaging in opaque, childproof containers. Which I'm fine with, if that's what you required for the Tide laundry pods. Here's another quote from this piece. One study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences showed that frequent marijuana smokers lost 8 IQ points between the ages of 13 and 38. And even if they quit as adults, the researchers found the youthful indulger's mental ability did not fully recover. Fortunately, folks who start smoking pot as an adult do not show such a decline in IQ. And by the way, in this paragraph, it's the only paragraph in which he did all caps on one word. He did all caps on the word lost, and it's the only sentence that he ended with an exclamation point. And what Doc Oz is relying on here is Madeline Meyer's infamous 2012 study that followed 1,000 New Zealanders over 40 years. And when it came out, Oh, the marijuana prohibitionists, they finally had the evidence they needed to back up that stereotype of the stupid pothead. They threw that lost 8 IQ points right into the card catalog, and they've been using it ever since. Of course, they paid no attention to the researcher in 2013 who debunked the conclusion using the same data and published his results in the same peer-reviewed journal where Meyer's study was published. Then they ignored that there were only 38 examples of early onset frequent use subjects to prove this IQ loss. 38, a dubiously small sample. And of course, they paid no attention to the 2016 study of over 2,200 teenagers that showed no short-term effect on adolescent IQ, even in the heavy marijuana users. And they never acknowledged another 2016 study, this time with over 3,000 pairs of twins, where one twin tokes and the other one abstains, that showed no decline in adolescent IQ based on marijuana use. And by the way, they actually did find that some of the pot-smoking twins, their IQ went down, but their non-pot-smoking twins' IQ went down as well, which suggests genetic factors or environmental factors that they share rather than the pot-smoking. Oh, this next one. Oh, this quote. I love this one. Here's a quote from Dr. Oz's piece. Quote, when used in a well-regulated program to address specific medical issues, marijuana can convey some benefits. End quote. Well, damning with faint praise, are we? Look, Doc Oz here is trying to conclude this piece by being all fair and balanced because there's like 80% support for medical marijuana. If he didn't recognize some medical benefits, he'd lose what tiny sliver of credibility that Reiki-believing pharmaceutical shilling weight loss snake oil salesman may still retain. But how does a well-regulated program change the pharmacological effects of cannabinoids on medical issues? Why must one define bureaucratically which specific medical issues may be treated for marijuana to convey some benefits? Numerous medical issues are treated by marijuana because our bodies have receptors for the cannabinoid molecules in the plant. These external plant-based molecules that we call phytocannabinoids mimic our body's endocannabinoids, which are molecules we produce internally. These molecules help to regulate many of our bodily functions. And this endocannabinoid system couldn't care less whether you've registered with the state, whether you qualified with some particular condition, whether you got a card, whether you shopped in a dispensary, or whether you followed the strict regulations for medical cannabis use. Hell, your body will experience the same benefits to the endocannabinoid system from smoking an illegal street marijuana joint for entertainment at an outdoor midnight Pink Floyd laser light show. The endocannabinoid system does not care about your medical marijuana law. Doc Oz is throwing this one in here to try to seem like, okay, if you got cancer and you're going to die, if you got AIDS, you're going to die. Well, I suppose we can let you have the side effects of the awful things that'll happen from marijuana because you're about to die. This is marijuana as last resort bullshit we get from these people. That's what it is. Trying to minimize this, trying to make it seem like, well, it's really risky. Should be the medicine of first resort. Here's another statement. Quote, treat it with the same understanding of its inherent risks and benefits as you do or should alcohol, which can be used in a recipe for a tasty fish stew or be a toxic substance that kills. This doctor, and I use the term loosely, in 650 words has carefully arranged them to lead people to assume the worst. It uses the word risks 7 times, and in close proximity to toxin, toxic, carcinogen, dangerous, ammonia, cyanide, and health up in smoke. Now, it uses the word benefits 6 times, but then immediately undercuts it every time. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tackle the rest of those benefits, and we'll talk more about Dr. Oz.
What is the main food that penguins eat? Spam?
No, I don't like spam. Happy 420, everybody. It's 420 in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. I'm feeling a little dangerous. And stay tuned. We're going to talk about Rick Steves making his way to Maine. And after that, the write-in campaign, Russ Belville for president, starts today.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
When I was in the Marines and I did fracture both my tibia and fibia, they gave me multiple painkillers, Oxycontins, Percocets, hydrocodone, painkillers. You're addicted. You know you're addicted. The pride that I took being a Marine was gone. With marijuana, I felt like not only can I treat myself and treat the pain, but I can also live. Dealing through the VA, it is never talked about. It was never an option. Why do I have to live in pain?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Got a question from the chat room. Kathy wants to know why this story. Why this Dr. Oz story? Why am I going off on this thing? Well, the reason why is because it appeared in the Idaho Statesman. Right? Like, if I was perusing Oregon Live, right, the Oregonians website for or the cannabis, right? If I'm out in on the Denver newspaper, or I'm on the Oregon newspaper or Seattle newspaper, I probably wouldn't attack it so much, right? Because the comments section would have done it for me. Now, by the time you'd get there on any of those stories like that, you'd go to the comments section. It'd be 50, 60 comments of people going, "This is bullshit. Here's the study. Blah blah blah." I go out to the Idaho Statesman page, and there was one comment. Just one. And so I started typing out, like, "Well, this is freaking ridiculous, blah, blah, blah," trying to add all the links. And I have this rule that, you know, I'm a professional writer now, so that if I'm on Facebook or some website and I'm typing a comment and it gets more than three paragraphs long, I had to make an article out of that and get paid. So that's what I did. I started off this response on the Idaho Statesman's page, and then I realized, shit, this is going to be a good article. So I just wrote it all up, because I can put so much more in the article. There's links. I can put in graphics and so forth. And then I go back to the Idaho Statesman and say, "Hey, this is bullshit. Here's the response." And then not only do I have more information I can convey, but I'm also getting clicks. I'm getting Idaho Statesman feeding me traffic. So that's kind of why I went for this story. But the other part, you kind of nailed it. You said, is it just because so many people listen to these quacks? Yeah, it is. Because, you know, we're deep in the weeds in this, pardon the pun, when it comes to marijuana policy and cannabinoid pharmacokinetics and so forth, right? We understand this very intimately. Most people don't. Hell, most pot smokers don't. But most people in general aren't pot smokers. Like 84% of the population doesn't smoke pot. And they got no clue. So when a Dr. Oz comes on, you know, that's as close to an authority as they got, right? They're not, they don't know. That's why Sanjay Gupta was such a huge victory for us. Because people put a lot of stock into these TV doctors. All right, so that's why I'm attacking this. And let me just finish it up because I can't leave it unfinished. Again, in 650 words, 652 it was. In 652 words, these guys, Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen, and again, this Roizen guy is another Reiki quack. But anyway, these guys, in 652 words, used the word risks 7 times. And every time the word risk was involved in that paragraph, other scary words were near it, like toxin, toxic, carcinogen, dangerous, ammonia, cyanide, health up in smoke, right? Risks, danger, toxins, cancer, ah! Now, it used the word benefits 6 times. Close to balanced, right? You'd think 6 times for the benefits, but then every time a benefit was mentioned, it's undercut. Here's the 6 examples. 6 benefits he listed, but then immediately in that paragraph went and undercut them. Number 1, quote, there are around 1.2 million folks in 24 states benefiting from medical marijuana, but they're just a fraction of the millions of adults and kids smoking pot. All right, so let's minimize. Oh, yeah, lots of people getting, but that very few of the people smoking pot are really getting any benefits from it. It's an implication. It's that negative space in the rhetoric that lets the listener fill it in with, oh, okay, so most people are getting harms. If only 1.2 million are getting benefits, then the ones that aren't getting benefits are getting harms. No, that's not the way it works. Here's the second one. He points out that medical marijuana can provide benefits of, quote, pain relief, stimulate appetite, ease Parkinson's symptoms, end quote. But then goes on to say that only may outweigh the health risks plain old pot smokers suffer. Like, it's this cost-benefit analysis. Like, yeah, I'm losing weight, and I got no appetite, and I'm a 10 on the pain scale, and the Parkinson's is acting up, but I better evaluate whether or not dry mouth might be a problem. Jesus. Third one. You may, quote, feel less back or joint pain, end quote, as a benefit of medical marijuana, but smoking leads to inflammation that may increase the pain. If it did, you'd stop smoking, right? Or you'd switch to vaporization. The fourth one. You can avoid smoking's inflammatory molecules by eating the marijuana. Oh, but then the kids will suffer dangerous and increasingly common marijuana overdoses. All right. It's just not, here's some harm reduction, but be careful, because it's like, here's clean needles, but don't leave them out where the kids will get into them. Well, of course you're not going to. God. The fifth one. He admits there may be medical benefits for diabetes, spasticity, nausea, and pain. Maybe, but only if your state passed a medical marijuana law and you qualify for a card. That's that paragraph where he talks about, well, under a state well-regulated program for some, what do the regulations enter into it? Like, when I drink coffee, the caffeine works. It doesn't matter if I have a prescription for that, or I know there's caffeine in there, or I think caffeine works, or some legislator signed a law. It's caffeine. It goes to your nervous system and it works. Same with cannabinoids. They work whether you got a card or not. And then he closes with, marijuana has medical benefits that are increasingly accepted, but it's super potent now, so we should treat it like alcohol, quote, a toxic substance that kills, end quote. Folks, treating marijuana like alcohol is a gross misunderstanding of both substances and an insult to marijuana. Treating marijuana as more harmful than pharmaceuticals is a gross misapplication of drug regulations and an insult to patients. Treating marijuana with more skepticism than Reiki is a gross dereliction of scientific duty and an insult to audiences. But treating marijuana to a reefer madness write-up from TV's quackiest doctor is just gross. All right, if you want to pick up that piece, it's available on weednews.co, your independent source for the best in marijuana news and opinion. All right, there's a great story in the Portland Press Herald today. Important because we got that news out of Maine, and I was putting the news together when I got that story out of Maine. I hadn't had a chance to do the debunking on it yet, so I'll tackle that. But if you missed the first hour, Maine's attorney general has issued this opinion that says, uh-oh, if you legalize with question one in Maine, we can't punish kids that smoke pot. Now, the legal theory, as was reported in the story, again, I haven't double-checked it yet. The legal theory is that Maine's question one repeals or supersedes probably the existing decrim in Maine. Maine's decrim law says if you cop less than 2.5 ounces, it's like a ticket, an infraction, right? And it's one of those things that doesn't, again, speculating here, that doesn't mention an age, right? It's like any person caught with less than 2.5 ounces, so you could be 2, you could be 200, you could be whatever age. We're just going to give you a ticket, right? And if I'm understanding what she's saying is that this law says it shall be legal for people 21 and older to possess 2.5 ounces. And that this law now supersedes and renders invalid other laws regarding that behavior. And so, and this is where I really got to get into the, and I've got the whole initiative, you know, I'll dig deep into this. But then that theory would be, okay, you just superseded a law that punishes anybody of any age with a ticket. And you replaced it with something that says it makes it legal for people 21 and over to do it. What do we do then to the people under 21? Because there's no punishment left. There's no ticket left for any age. And we only legalize the 21 and up. So what? This is now it's in a gray area. It's not legal for over. The law doesn't make it legal for people under 21 to smoke pot or possess it. But it got rid of the penalty for that illegal act. Now, if that's true, holy shit. Oh, man. If that is true, we are in trouble in Maine, people. We are in trouble in Maine. And I will I'm going to be taking a deep look at this because it's interesting because the Maine situation is the only situation where the more liberal grassroots the liberal grassroots effort went up against a more conservative nationally funded marijuana policy project effort and won. It's the only place it's happened in all the history of marijuana legalization. And the story, the script has always been the opposite. The script is always, there's grassroots activists who've been in the state, they've been working there for a couple decades. They've passed local ballot questions and non-binding referenda and have been the ones that have been testifying in the city councils and the state houses and working their ass off and throwing the parades and throwing the rallies and getting the education out there for decades. And then when it comes, their state's just ready to legalize. That's when MPP swoops in from Washington, D.C. after doing some polling. This polling that has now been seeded by all this local work that has gone so much into, you know, changing the landscape there. And they jump right in. MPP jumps in. Professional campaign. This is the way it's going to be done. My way or the highway. And activists either choose the highway or they get pushed out onto it. That's generally been the script. Now, I'm not saying this as a slight at MPP by any means. Politics ain't beanbag, people. This is like serious shit. And MPP's got a serious attitude about it being an incremental war, that this is a marathon, not a sprint, that you got to move forward and capture any territory you can in the war to try to gain more. And it's, I've had numerous disagreements with MPP on this, on various aspects of their legalization plans. But by and large, over the 20-year history, and they've done the most work to get the most marijuana freedom for the most people in this country. And it is politics, folks. There's a lot of ways they've done it, a lot of things that have happened. That I shouldn't say a lot, but there have been a number of things that have happened and ways that it's been done that I'm not happy with at all. And, well, that's politics. That's the way it goes, man. Sometimes your best option is the least shitty solution, you know? Anyway, MPP's always had this history of you know, jumping in, being the national funders, being the big boy on the block with the billionaire in the back pocket that could actually get shit done. And so then you have that internecine battle between the locals who run their more liberal initiative, whether it be Jack Herer in California, Arizonans for Mindful Reform in Arizona, Bay State Repeal in Massachusetts, Issue 7 in Arkansas, Measure 80 in Oregon. I could go on and on and on. It always works this way, okay? Well, this time in Maine, this guy Paul McCarrier up in Maine with Legalized Maine wrote a more liberal initiative, managed to get the signatures necessary, and had the political standing to force MPP to choose his language rather than go with theirs. So if this little loophole thing sinks it, oh my God.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist?
It
was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Hey, everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, I'm taking a look at some more reports at the Portland Press Herald. A spokesperson for the Attorney General's office there in Maine says, quote, "The initiated bill purports to allow only people over 21 years of age to buy and consume marijuana. However, it says nothing about people under the age of 21. Nothing in this bill makes it unlawful for a child to possess marijuana. there are no penalties, end quote. All right, we will take a look. He says, quote, this is the very statute that makes it a juvenile crime to possess marijuana. Repealing this provision of Title 22 makes it lawful for juveniles of any age to buy, possess, and consume a usable amount of marijuana. The same would be true for people ages 18 to 20. Oh my God. And this is, now, obviously, should this pass, it is something that can be fixed. If this is truly the problem, you can pass this and fix it. Second of all, what? Look, if the penalty right now for a kid caught with weed is a ticket, then it goes from being a ticket to not being a penalty at all. Do you really think that makes a huge difference in whether or not kids are getting it? Because the commercial aspect of Maine's legalization, they wouldn't be able to get in the pot shops. They wouldn't be able to be growers. They wouldn't be able to get into the pot lounges. So they'd be getting pot the same way they do now. The difference would be you wouldn't be able to get $150 from their parents. Look, the punishment that's going to deter a kid is the punishment that comes from his parents, from his guardians, from the schools, from the churches, from the sports teams they play on, the bands, the orchestras they're a part of. Those kind of sanctions are going to mean more to a kid than making his parents pay a $150 fine. Now, of course, Scott Gagnon wants them to withdraw. They should withdraw immediately, come back with something better that he can continue to fight no matter what they bring. Okay, this other part, the whole point of the whole Maine story was to talk about Rick Steves, who's heading to the Maine, the cities in Maine to campaign. I didn't want to have to say that. the cities in Maine to campaign from the plane, or the rain in Spain. Anyway, Rick Steves is the largest individual donor to the Maine campaign. He's, of course, a board member for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He's put $100,000 into Maine's campaign. He's total put in about $800,000 between Washington, Oregon, Maine. I think he's donated to Massachusetts as well. He's going to be campaigning in Massachusetts too. And of course, he talks about all his typical, you know, the European perspective and taking the crime out of the equation and being smart, not hard on drugs. And Gagnon, of course, pops in. By the way, I'm going to try to get Gagnon on the show for election night. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. Anyway, Gagnon says it's going to be awful. Legalization is going to make the world fall apart. And that Portugal, this is the important part here. Scott Gagnon, the No On One campaign director, says he suspects Steves will talk to Mainers about experiences in Portugal and the Netherlands as a way to argue for legalization in the United States. Gagnon points out those countries are very different, and their cultures are not applicable to the United States. Oh, Jesus, the American exceptionalism argument. Yes, you know, drug addiction and HIV infection rates and crime rates and all of that work completely different in Portugal. The Netherlands is a completely different, their cultures are different. There's a different world. It's a whole different place. America's special and it would never work here. You know what that, folks, you know what that's code for? You know this is code talk, don't you? When people say the cultures in Europe are different. Yeah, what they're talking about is that, well, see, they don't have, our ghettos, those people. They don't have the gangbangers and the thugs like we do, which is bullshit because they do. They're called different things and different racial epithets, but there's every culture's got its problems with crime and immigration and whatever else. It does not change the fact that Portugal decriminalized personal possession of all drugs, has seen their addiction rates plummet, has seen their HIV rates plummet, has not seen their murder rates plummet, have not seen the predicted harms that anybody like you predicted would happen. I wanted to get that out because I get so sick of hearing that in the drug debate. Oh, well, what other countries have done, we can learn nothing from that. Yeah, they have socialized health care and no guns. So obviously we're so different it would never work. I don't know. Maybe they're right. I don't know. One final thing for the day. I gotta talk to my third party voters out there. Some of you know this is coming. Last night I got to my DVR, got to watch John Oliver's remarkable takedown of Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. It was epic, fantastic, and just the way Oliver does his stuff. He's really good at it. But that's not where I wanted to go, because I've been thinking about this for a while, obviously, and it really has little to do with Gary Johnson or Jill Stein this time. The point is that one of two people will be president. This is an immutable fact. One of two people are going to be our president for the next 4 years. It will either be Donald J. Trump or Hillary Rodham Clinton. One of those two people will be the next president. Now, if we can't go past this part of the discussion, if you really, really think anybody else has any shot at being president, save yourself some time, stop the stream right now, and do something more useful and productive with your day. Because we're not even inhabiting the same plane of reality at this point. If you can't acknowledge that one of those two people will be president. Okay, so those of you who are still with me, maybe you've acknowledged that. Maybe you acknowledge that, yeah, you're right. The system's fucked, man. It's a duopoly. It's locked in, tied down, bought and sold long time ago. That's what George Carlin used to always say. Man, this country was bought and sold long time ago. It's a big club and you ain't in it. It's their club and you ain't in it. Right? I've always subscribed to that, right? We're getting screwed no matter who gets elected. The question is do you get screwed with lube and a condom, or do you get screwed with a spike dildo? That's where we're at here, okay? This is where we're at. And the argument then becomes a few of them. There's a few of them. Because I made them, folks. Remember, I made the arguments. The argument then becomes, well, number one, they're both equally awful. Hillary Killery Clinton is going to bomb every other country and get us into a war with Russia over Syria, and is going to put the banksters in charge of the treasury and loot the treasury again. We're going to have a massive collapse and a crash, and it's the end of all civilization. Or you're on the other side. You're like, Donald Trump, my God, serial liar, serial sexual predator, bankrupted every business he is ever a part of, openly basks in racism and endorsements from white nationalists, xenophobia, hatred of Islam, hatred of women, hatred of the disabled, whoever gets in his way, blah, blah. You could go on that rant too, right? So they'll use that. Third party people, they'll say they're equally bad, despite the fact that is statistically improbable as hell. There are 320 million Americans, and of those that are eligible to run for president, got to be 35 and over, naturalized citizen, or born in the United States. Well, not in, but yeah, whatever, right? If you meet the requirements for president, there's probably what? 50 million people? 40? I don't know. Pick a number, but it's a few million. The statistical probability that on the evil spectrum, you could pick two out of 20, 30, 40 million people who would come up with the exact same EQ, evil quotient, is impossible. Improbable as hell. It could happen, but improbable as hell that, let's say the evil quotient runs 1 to 100 and you're telling me Trump and Clinton are both a 98.65232. Exactly. Don't buy it. I don't buy it. One may be worse than the other in this respect, and one may be worse than the other in that respect. And there might be a faster damage that happens under one, or a more lasting damage that happens under the other. But you can find a metric. You can find something. Even in your perspective, dear listener, in your perspective, you can find something that would break the tie. For me, it's pretty easy. The tie is broken for me by the deplorables. The tie is, Trump doesn't bother me so much as, oh my God, if he became president and I had to go back to Idaho and see all my redneck uncles and redneck cousins during a Trump administration and have to deal with that during Thanksgiving dinner, oh my God, that's enough to break the tie for me. I figure when white nationalists and supremacists are saying, this is our guy, he speaks for us, it's a warning sign you ought to take seriously. Now, but again, I'm going to go in this with an open mind here. I'm going to say, you know, let's even pretend they're both equally evil. Let me seed that ground to you. Let's say both Hillary and Donald are 98.65325 on the 1 to 100 evil quotient scale. They're exactly equally evil. Exactly equally evil will have exactly equally awful outcome no matter which one's president. Okay, let's presume that's the case. So, then you might say, well, then I'm going to vote for Gary Johnson. I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. For one, both Gary Johnson and Jill Stein openly support marijuana legalization and have for a long time. So I should vote for them. And for two, I can have a pure conscience knowing that I didn't approve of whichever 98.63523 evil person becomes the next president. Well, here's why I want to make my pitch. If you're just going to vote for someone that you know isn't going to be president because it makes you feel good, why not vote for me? Write my name in. Write in Russ Belville for president. I'm not going to be the next president, and neither are Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. So write me in. I've been supporting legalization for 10 years every day now. At great personal risk and expense. And I got some pretty cool ideas on some other things we could do in this country. Like the Russ Belville Term Limits Amendment. In any one office at the federal level, one can only serve the number of terms less than or equal to 12 years. You can be a congressman for 6 terms. You can be a senator for 2 terms. You can be a president for 3 terms. You can be a Supreme Court justice for 12 years. That's it. You can put 48 years of your life into office, but you got to keep moving. That's just one idea I got for you. How's that? Right? Write me in. Why not? I'm going to have just as much effect on what either President Clinton or President Trump does in the next 4 years as Gary Johnson and Jill Stein will. I'll have exactly as much power. And if you don't think my campaign's serious enough, because, hell, I just announced it, and I'm broke, there are other third-party candidates to choose from. There's a plethora of candidates out there that support our issue. You could vote for James C. Mitchell. Mitchell for President, Mitchell number 4 president16.com, who says, we need to decriminalize recreational drugs, including medical marijuana, to be available free, dispensed from all federal health clinics to break the back economically of the illegal drug trade. Guy would have free weed from federal hospitals, folks. James C. Mitchell. He ain't got no Jill Stein or Gary Johnson talking about free weed from federal health clinics. How about J.D. Crivot from the Constitution Party, constitutionparty.com? Whereas Congress has authorized and allowed the Bureaucratic Drug Enforcement Administration to manifest many abuses of power, including the right to keep and bear arms, to be secure in their persons, to speedy trial, face accusers, common law, excessive bail, cruel and unusual punishments, federal intrusion and usurpation of law enforcement authority, it is resolved that Congress to publicly investigate the manner in which all funds and authority granted by Congress to the DEA and other agencies involved in the so-called war on drugs are used, and to terminate authority and funding for all unconstitutional activities. These guys would investigate the DEA and defund them. That's J.D. Crivot. I haven't heard Jill Stein or Gary Johnson talking about defunding the DEA. How about Vermin Supreme? Vermin Supreme, the guy with the boot on his head, he's smoked marijuana a number of times on videos. He knows all about the endocannabinoid system. How about Terry Wheelock? Terry Wheelock, theuniversalfoundation.com. Terry Wheelock says we should demilitarize law enforcement and police brutality, move from incarceration to rehabilitation, end institutionalized racism within our justice system, expand women's rights, equal pay for equal work, protect the rights of all LGBT people from discrimination, keep the internet neutral, affordable, and available for all, and decriminalize drug addiction and legalize medical marijuana, industrial hemp, and personal use. That's Terry Wheelock. Sounds like Jill Stein, doesn't he? God, that's, if you're a Jill Stein fan, why not just vote for Terry Wheelock? They'll both get the same number of electoral votes, and you'll not have to vote for Clinton or Trump. How about Scott Smith? You can find his campaign at scottsmith2016.com. Scott Smith says that marijuana fits in the same category as alcohol. He lives in Colorado and says the legalization went well. Our state makes money rather than spending taxpayer dollars on criminalization. And he wants to crush the economics of the drug trade by saying, and this is his plan here, is we can effectively pull the rug out from under the drug lords by legalizing the use of drugs and putting the government in charge of producing and selling drugs. If drugs were cheap and legal, the criminal empire would be turned on its head overnight. There you go, man. Scott Smith, 2016.com. He's going to have the government, the post office, could bring you your weed. Bring you your, I mean, more than they do now. They could, you get your weed from the post office, man. How about, you don't want to vote for Clinton or Trump. I understand. Chris Keniston. Chris Keniston, 2016.com. He says, my position on marijuana legalization is not a platform issue. Forgive me for saying so, but it has become a predictably cliche third-party battle cry. I understand it's an important issue for many Americans, but I don't consider it among the most serious issues facing the country. That said, I do support federal decriminalization and opening marijuana for legitimate medical research. Like alcohol, states should decide how to legalize, intoxication limits, etc. He also wants to remove barriers to hemp agriculture. There you go. Chris Keniston, 2016.com. Now, maybe though, you like Jill Stein. You like these guys are great and all, but you like the idea of Jill Stein because, you know, Hillary's running for president, but you don't want her to be the first woman president. But you would like to see a woman president. That would be pretty damn cool. So if you want a woman president, you have the opportunity to vote for Lynn Kahn, K-A-H-N, Lynn Kahn. She's at vote four, number four, LYNN2016.com. Vote for Lynn2016.com. In her platform, she says we must change all federal policies that have contributed to mass incarceration, militarization of police, and mistrust of our justice system, stop the war on drugs, redirect the funding to neighborhood-based networks of services, eliminate mandatory minimum sentencing, release all nonviolent and low-risk offenders from federal prisons, and stop funding for-profit prisons. Lynn Kahn, vote for Lynn2016.com. And finally, you don't want to vote for Trump. You don't want to vote for Clinton. And you like Gary Johnson because he's kind of spacey. Kind of, you know, he's like that Mars stuff and the sun's going to explode. You're kind of wanting a spacey, dopey guy. Zoltan Istvan. You can vote for Zoltan Istvan. He's running under the Transhumanist Party. You can find them at transhumanistparty.org. Transhumanistparty.org. He wants to spread a pro-science culture by emphasizing reason and secular values. Advocate for morphological freedom, the right to do anything to your body as long as it doesn't harm others. End the costly war and legalize all drugs. Significantly reduce mass incarceration. Provide free public education at all levels. And the Transhumanist Party is very strong on the fact that robots will take over most of our jobs in the next 30 years, and they advocate for a universal basic income. We're going to let the robots take over all the work, and then we just get paychecks for sitting around smoking our legal weed. There you go, 10 different choices other than Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, or hell, you can just write me in. All of us combined will have the same electoral votes on November 9th. None. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you're planning to.
grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you